Welcome to Talking Giants Player Profile Preview. Got two players today, one offensive, one defensive. That's how it works. Player Profile Previews. Two players an episode every weekday until game week. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Pennick, who's making a bunch of weird hand signals. You can finally see all the weird stuff he does now that we're doing video. We're presented by John Boy Media. Justin, how are you doing? You ready for Caden Smith?
Ooh, Caden Smith, PPP, Player Profile Preview. We are doing this 5 days a week. It's the most exciting time of the year. Unfortunately, I feel like at this point, the Giants are probably not even like meeting to do training camp yet, and there's not a lot of things happening, but we're happening, and we're going.
Let's do it. Caden Smith. Caden Smith is 6'5", 252 pounds. He's 23 years old. He was picked by the San Francisco 49ers in last year's draft in the sixth round, pick 176. Justin, he was waived by the Niners after week one, and the Giants claimed him on September 16th. Fun fact, I know you're going to hit me with a fun fact about Caden Smith, but fun fact, do you know that supposedly Darius Slayton, who was picked at 171, the Giants were battling between Darius Slayton and Caden Smith, and Slayton was the pick, which was the right pick, but they ended up getting their guy in Caden Smith too.
Don't you love just when things work out?
I love when a plan comes together.
Do you want me to share my fun fact? Is that what the silence is?
Fun fact.
All right, fun fact, fun yes. Fact. In 2018.
Let's see how fun this really is.
In 2018, Caden Smith was hanging out with Justin Bieber, having a conversation poolside. He was vacationing with his family in Hawaii, and him and the Biebs, they chatted it up a bit. I think there were some Instagram pictures that he snagged, and Caden Smith actually put it up on his Instagram. Bobby, what do you think that conversation was like between Caden Smith and Justin Bieber? How do you think it went?
Were they actually hanging out, or did they just take pictures?
It's kind of weird because the pictures look like they're paparazzi pictures. It's not like they're posing where the arms around one another and they're throwing up a peace sign, they're throwing up a thumbs up, nothing. It's just they were chatting.
Maybe Bieber is a big Stanford football fan.
Yeah, who knows?
Or he's just like, you know, hey, man, Stanford is tight end. You are, you know, you guys are good stuff. I mean, we have another Stanford tight end on the team in Levine Toilolo.
He does live in California, so who knows?
That could be what it is. He actually met Eli Manning. You know, when Eli retired, he had a picture with Eli Manning of when he was a young lad.
Who,
you
Justin,
know that about Caden Smith?
Justin Bieber?
No, Caden Smith. Okay. Jason Bieber probably wish he could have, but he didn't have that ability.
You just said Jason Bieber, by the way.
I said Justin.
Oh.
That's what I said. All right, let's get into it. Who he is as a player. Justin, at Stanford, in his senior year, he averages 70.5 yards per game. That's pretty good for a tight end, especially in a Stanford team that likes to run the ball, establish the run, just like you love.
Love running backs.
Justin, in 2019 with the Giants, he had 7 real games played. He had 9 total, but they were like 10 rep games. In those 7 games, he had 31 catches, 268 yards, and 3 touchdowns. A 73.8% catch per target rate, which is really good for a guy who was involved in the game plan. At a 16-game rate, that's 71 catches. That's really good. 1,613 yards, 7 touchdowns. So the yards per catch isn't great. Nope. You know, it's like around 8 or so.
We'll talk about that.
Per game, it was at 4.43 catches, 38.29 yards. He also had a one catch, 1 yard game in there. Justin, you know, we didn't really know who this guy was. Evan Ingram's out for the Jets game. We're expecting Rhett Ellison to start. And the Giants announced that they're starting Caden Smith. Now, he played 50-50 snaps with Rhett Ellison in that game. And from then on, after that game, Caden Smith was introduced to our lives.
Yeah, Caden Smith really was a breath of fresh air. Before you even get into any numbers and before I get into numbers, and I think my evaluation and my analysis of Caden Smith's 2019 numbers is going to be a combination of I kind of don't like Pat Shurmur and the way that he used tight ends, but it's also maybe I'm going to have the take of Caden Smith doesn't overly excite me because I know a lot of people are very excited about Caden Smith. So, Bobby, I feel like that'll be good banter, but no matter what, like, let's just look at what the 2019 season as a whole. Caden Smith was a breath of fresh air compared to Rhett Ellison. And especially with, you know, we always come to a point in a season where Evan Ingram is not the starting tight end and he's just not a guy that's relied upon. Compared to what we've had, you know, the past 2 years with Ellison, Caden Smith was a breath of fresh air and he actually was someone who was a strength for the team and not somebody who was out there just running routes.
Yeah. After watching, I went and watched a couple of games of film to refresh myself, and I was very excited. Do you have any, like, numbers on Caden Smith?
Yeah, and there's not that much because there's just such a low sample size with him, you know, and why I think the catch rate was so high, Bobby, and this even goes to what we were talking about with Sterling Shepard as well, with catch percentage, you have a high catch percentage, so it's more likely that your average depth of target, it's not that much. So Caden Smith, actually, his average depth of target, where he was targeted on the football field, was 5.7 last year. That's not great. You know, that's not great. You know, that you're almost getting to a point where you might as well even just run the ball. And the way that, you know, you saw that Pat Shurmur was using his tight ends, very, very rudimentary, very elementary routes. A lot of times they're checkdowns. A lot of times they're just running button hooks and stuff like that. Wasn't really great. And you even saw a guy like Evan Engram, his efficiency numbers dropped tremendously in 2019, even compared to 2018 as well. And actually, Jason Witten, a little shocker of a fact that I found, because I'm trying to compare Witten to Caden Smith. I think that's just a natural thing that all Giants fans are going to want to do. Jason Witten in 2019, his average depth of target was an entire yard greater than Caden Smith. Now, average depth of target is more or less like a scheming stat. I don't really think that's a player performance stat, because it's where are you catching the ball on the field, and that's play calling. You know, what routes are you running? But even Jason Witten was getting a lot more, like, yard in terms of his yards per reception, getting that a little bit more than Caden Smith.
Right. I'll say this, and I'll just start talking about him as a player. One, I think it's a funny thing, and I've noticed that if you're a backup wide tight end, people are like, oh, good blocker. He struggled to start, yeah, but he really improved. And this is a guy who wasn't part of this team in camp. You know, he was the four-string tight end for the 49ers. He wasn't a part of this team in camp, and his blocking got better. It struggled at the start, and then I watched the Green Bay game, and he was annoying the crap out of Za'Darius Smith. Annoying him. And I remember I did a breakdown of one of his blocks in that game. He blocked his ass off in that game, and it was so impressive. I mean, it was better than freaking Nate Solder. So his blocking improved. So we should only expect that to get better as you get stronger and more as a man in the NFL. So that is a big thing against him. Justin, it's hard to tell when you don't know the scheme, but it just seems like he's smart. When I was watching film, it looked like he'd see a middle linebacker pop out, and Caden said, curl, stop right there in the middle of the hole. Yep. And that works with Jones, and it kind of looked like watching some Jones college tape with the way he used number 87 down there. I think his last name was Swain, the tight end there. And like you said, it's not average. It's not long, big receptions, but it seemed like it was there. But we also saw the bigger receptions against Philly, Green Bay. Like, he also did have some bigger plays.
And let me say that with that, Bobby, there were a few plays last year where Caden Smith was making some catches and in traffic, and he was receiving some, you know, big hits on the other end of catching that football, and he held on to most of those balls. He did a really good job. So that was something that I saw from the film as well.
Yeah, and I remember I put it in slow-mo, and it was the Miami game with Eli's quarterback.
Yes.
And it's a
down the seam.
It was a post route. And it was a down the seam, or it was like a skinny, or a like you said, a seam route. And the guy jams him up like 15 yards. He gets out of that break and then turns his eye. The ball is there, and it was there. It was like perfect timing. And what's crazy is those guys had played together for a week. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like he'd been working with Eli all year. He was working with him for a whole week. And I know the yards per reception aren't great, but Justin, I mean, I know you can't cut out stats, but the first game with the Jets, one catch, one yard. The Bears game, which he did catch a touchdown, five catches, 17 yards. After that, 6 for 70, 2 for 9 against Philly with Eli, 3 for 38 with Miami, 6 for 35 and 2 touchdowns against Washington. And then the Eagles game, the 8 for 98. So it got better as it went along. I know, like, people make the Jason Witten comparison, but I really think it's true, man, because I think he's a smart player. His blocking is getting better. And, I know it comes down to this with all these guys, but if he's a hard worker, my expectations are, like, a very solid player and someone who could make Engram, like, if Engram goes down this year, yeah, I'm not, like, it sucks, it bumps me out, but I'm not, like, it doesn't panic me.
It's not the end of the world.
I'm, like, I'm almost, like, want to see again what he's like with the number one. As the number one guy.
Yeah, it's certainly not the end of the world. And where I think he's strongest when he's blocking Bobby is maybe not necessarily head-to-head and when he's head-to-head with somebody, but Pat Shurmur had him doing this thing where he was pulling across the line of scrimmage. He would be a tight end, and then he's taken off the last guy, you know, the last guy of defense on the other end of the line of scrimmage, and he's taken out that guy. I really liked him in that role. He was very, very reliable. I think even that big, there was a big Saquon run against Washington where Caden Smith put up a really good block. So that's in there too. Bobby, can we kind of turn to? I know we're not a projection pod, and this isn't like the our PPPs. We're not projecting anything. But
I mean, it's literally player profiles and projections,
but,
so we
but,
are
well,
projecting.
No, well, no, we're doing preview, player profile preview, talking Yanks' player profile projection, but I kind of want to turn it into projection here because I'm remembering Martellus Bennett.
I've always called them projections,
oh,
by the way.
Oh, you say preview. I swear to everything that is good in this world that you have always said preview, but neither here nor there. I'm looking at Martellus Bennett. And I'm looking at his 2010 season. Now, in 2010, you also had Jason Witten collecting 128 targets, 94 catches, and over 1,000 yards. So, if anything, we're in a perfect world, are we not envisioning Evan Engram as tight end number one for 16 games and Caden Smith tight end number two for 16 games? I think that is the perfect world that we're envisioning. And what Martellus Bennett did in 2010 was 33 receptions on 47 targets. So that's around a 70% catch rate, 260 yards, no touchdowns, but around 8 yards per reception. So, frankly, Bobby, I hate to be like this, not anti-Caden Smith right now, but if everything goes correctly for this Giants team, Caden Smith is really only getting, I'm really feeling 40 catches, 35 catches tops in that range.
That's good for a backup tight end.
Yeah. So
that's not bad. Yeah. You're saying that like it's negative. I think that's awesome.
But I think we're projecting, I think a lot of Giants fans are projecting Caden Smith to be almost like a tight end one, which he will be if Evan Engram goes down. But there's nothing like, and you might even agree with me about this, Bobby. There's nothing about Caden Smith's game that overtly excites me. But he's solid and he's good.
I think
good.
He's an intelligent player. He's not going to burn anyone. Like, he's not fast. That's what stops him. But we've also seen in the past that it's not always the most explosive tight ends that do the best. Like, sometimes they burn themselves out of a route. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm not like Evan Engram's a playmaker. I'm not poo-pooing Engram for his speed. Like it is a game changer having that speed at tight end. But if you can be like, I know we keep comparing to Witten, but look at Witten. And I think that actually isn't as far-fetched of a theory as I thought when we first started talking about him. So if he's the backup, obviously, but he's solid if Evan Engram goes down. Now, I do think he's going to get some playing time, and I think they're going to put him out there with Levine Toilolo with a healthy Evan Engram. Hell, they might even, you know, bring three tight ends out or something.
Love that.
And then split Engram out to the slot or move him around in motion. And then have a two tight end set where you have Levine Toilolo, who's a really good blocker, Caden, who was an adequate blocker and got better as the season went along. And then you can do some real tight end sets where, you know, you said you don't want, like, he's not his best as a straight up blocker. Well, kind of nobody is, but he was capable. Like, he went against two Green Bay edges who changed that defense and held his own against those guys.
Yeah. So you kind of transitioned a point that I also wanted to bring up where, yes, I'm trying to provide a good balance about Bobby's kind of enthusiasm about Caden Smith. I'm trying to be like, hey, I'm trying to bring it down a little bit and bring us down to reality about, and I know Giants fans are celebrating him a little too much, but it will be criminal. It will absolutely be criminal if him, and we'll talk, we'll, I don't know if we have a Toilolo PPP, but I guess we'll talk about it eventually. It will be criminal if he is underutilized, especially on first and second down. If it's a rushing down and he is underutilized and then Daniel Jones doesn't have that option to maybe audible out of something and maybe audible to a passing play and then have that option of Caden Smith, maybe Levine Toilolo, I would love to see some 12 personnel packages of just those two tight ends and Evan Engram is on the sideline for some first downs. I want to see that. I want him utilized.
Yeah. Well, think about it this way. You have Evan Engram, Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, Darius Slayton. Any one of those guys goes down, it increases Caden Smith's role exponentially because we don't have a fourth wide receiver we have a lot of trust in. So that means more two tight end sets. So Anything closing on Caden Smith before we move over to the defense?
I think I have a theory about how these tight ends are going to be used in Air Coryell, because I think this is just important to bring up.
All right, quick go. 30 seconds.
Quick go. Okay. So Air Coryell, the whole point is that your eyes and the quarterback's eyes, they're starting down the field. They're starting to look at their options down the field with their wide receivers. And I think partially why Jason Witten was so successful those years is because your eyes are working back to your intermediate routes that are shorter and that are closer to the line of scrimmage. So there you go. Jason Witten was available for his button hooks. He was available for his out routes and things like that. And that's why I think our tight ends are going to be very successful this season, Caden Smith included.
With 2 seconds to spare. All right, let's take a break and move the defense.
Come on, pay attention in there. Let's go. We got a beautiful day. Work. Play fast. Play fast. Whoa. Ah.
All right, let's talk about James Bradberry, the cornerback. Justin, he's 6'1", 212 pounds. He's going to turn 27 years old in the second week of camp. Picked in the second round in 2016 by our guy, GM Dave Gettleman, from his time in Carolina. Justin, the Giants needed a cornerback after they cut Janoris Jenkins. We didn't know if they'd be able to address in the draft with a guy like Okudah when there are so many other needs. We are big on the Byron Jones train, but I am excited because the Giants signed James Bradberry to a 3-year, $43.5 million deal. Justin, if after 2022, we wanted to get out of that contract for the third year, it'd only be $3 million in dead cap, which would mean $11 million in savings. But I don't think we're going to have to do that, Justin, because I really like James Bradberry as a player.
Yeah, I hope not. Giants were smart this offseason with a lot of their free agent acquisitions that they're not committed to really anything long term. But James Bradberry is undoubtedly the offseason acquisition, at least free agent-wise, that we're most confident in and that we're most excited to see. Honestly, Bobby, it's just a question of a few things, and what we're going to get into right now is, you know, is James Bradberry that really much of an upgrade versus Janoris Jenkins? You know, we're going from one free agent corner to another. And how does James Bradberry kind of fit in Patrick Graham's system? And we'll talk about that. But Bobby, let's get him maybe into some numbers. And I know you watched a lot of James Bradberry. So let's really get into the meat of who this guy is as a player.
Yeah, so advanced stats, and these, they're getting better. These type of stats are getting better, but they're not 100% perfect, but they're pretty good for the cornerback position. In 2019, quarterbacks facing him were 59 for 97, which is 59.8%, 644 yards, one touchdown, and three interceptions. In 2018, they were 50 for 113, 44.2%, which is elite. That's like best three in the league right there for eight, but more yards, 802 yards, six touchdowns, and one interception. So the TD interception ratio and yards were not as good, but the completion percentage was 15 points better. Justin, what are your thoughts on James Bradberry?
Well, I mean, first and most significant, I think maybe kind of just sticking with the numbers in terms of how it relates to our thoughts. James Bradberry played in the NFC South. He's played in the NFC South for a few years, and he's done very, very well against the NFC South. Now, I think there's a huge difference, and I think if you're a football fan, you know this, that playing a cornerback and playing as a secondary player in the NFC South is a very, very difficult thing to do because each of those teams in that division, they have a pretty elite wide receiver. Julio Jones with the Falcons, Mike Evans with the Bucs, even Chris Godwin last year too, and Michael Thomas with the New Orleans Saints. It's not like playing cornerback in the NFC East, where, you know, Amari Cooper's kind of average, Alshon Jeffrey's and then Terry McLaurin just came onto the scene last year. So before that, you can argue that Janoris Jenkins in those divisional games didn't really have the biggest challenge. So with comparing numbers, even though James Bradberry's numbers and Janoris Jenkins' numbers, their stats look similar in terms of their advanced passing stats, I think James Bradberry is much more impressive because of who he went up against. So Julio Jones, game one last year, 5 catches for 64 yards. Julio Jones, game two last year against James Bradberry, 4 catches, 28 yards. Mike Evans, game one, 1 catch, 16 yards. Game two, 4 for 48 yards. And I believe one of those catches in that game two was a pretty big 15 to 20 yard gainer. So the rest of those pretty darn good. Michael Thomas, who he did very, very well against.
Two interceptions against Mike Evans too, by the way.
Yeah, yes. And then Michael Thomas, who he did very well against, and we all know how dominant Michael Thomas was. Game one, 7 catches, 49 yards. Game two, 5 catches for 29 yards.
Even DeAndre Hopkins is just like, he dominated his talent. And, you know, Blake Martinez, I thought was a good signing. I definitely wasn't excited about it just because honestly, I didn't want to invest a lot of money in that position unless the guy's elite, and I don't think Blake Martinez is that. But, man, I was excited about the Bradberry signing, like just full-bloom love with it. Obviously, I wanted Byron Jones, and Byron Jones is the better player, but I love this James Bradberry signing. The thing that stinks about it, though, Justin, and I keep on bringing in Janoris Jenkins, is he is better than Janoris Jenkins. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, at least what Janoris Jenkins was last year. But it's not like a huge improvement. So
right.
He's the biggest addition, but he's not a huge improvement to what we had last year. Like, if we had Jenkins and Bradberry both on opposite sides, then I'd be excited. But the fact that he's replacing someone I liked in Jenkins, you know, I know Jenkins had a bad Tampa Bay game and people got mad at his few missed tackles, but I thought Jenkins was solid. That's why it doesn't like make me want to propel the defense to the next level.
Yeah, and also, I do get a little concerned about the targets. I understand you're going up against elite wide receivers, especially last year. I mean, 113 targets he had in 2018. So you're going up against these elite NFC South wide receivers every single year. Those teams are going to want to target their guys. So it's a balance in my brain right now with how I'm evaluating Bradberry of like, yes, I'm concerned that quarterbacks feel the need to target him so many times. Because clearly they feel like their receivers are somewhat open. But as you were saying earlier, Bobby, the completion percentage was still pretty darn good despite a lot of targets. And even 2019, the completion percentage, 60%, that's not great, but it's not terrible. So,
well, here's the way I look at it, Justin. Would you, no matter who, now I'm not even talking about Mike Evans, Julio Jones, and Michael Thomas. If your number one wide receiver had 59 catches for 644 yards and one touchdown, would you be happy with that season? It'd be pitiful. And that's what James Bradberry held his opponents to. That's the way I look at it. And like I said, I went through every single game of this guy's film and I came away impressed. And a few things that I came away with. He's very good in man. Like, he's good at collapsing. He's not going to press you. Like, he's not going to come and press you, but he's very good in man. And zone coverage, he is unbelievably smart. He just doesn't make any mistakes in zone coverage. I think I counted like one mistake in like 10 games and he just didn't make any. And he also knew when it's like, hey, I have an either-or decision, he would make the right decision in it. So there might be like a catch on his stat book, but he gave up a catch for 6 yards instead of one for 24 yards. And it seemed like our corners couldn't understand that last year in James Betcher's system. So that's huge. He follows the number one wide receiver around. Jenkins complained about that. Hopefully Graham lets him do that, and I believe he will. Like I said, he doesn't make any mental mistakes. And he's got adequate ball skills where – Jones, but with Byron Jones, the question was, can this guy get interceptions? Because he didn't really have any.
Yeah, even the player profiler went into some of his target separation. I love talking about player separation. He was pretty good in the target separation too. Player profiler had him as 18th, allowing a little bit less than 1 yard of target separation per, I'm guessing that's, they're analyzing that per play or per reception allowed. So that's pretty darn good as well. And especially considering how Carolina, and I didn't really like how Carolina actually allowed James Bradberry to play at certain points. Add another Giants corner to the list who's not good with playing off ball. There would be times last year, even going up against Mike Evans, where it would be like a 4th-and-1, and James Bradberry's playing 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. So of course Mike Evans is going to catch a little 2-yard route, and he's going to pick up the first down, and that's going to go against James Bradberry because he's the guy that's making the tackle, and he's the guy that's, you know, that's mopping up that play. But Patrick Graham, while Bobby mentioned that maybe he's not good at playing press and he's not, you know, really, he doesn't prefer to put his hands on guys at the line of scrimmage, man-to-man coverage, Patrick Graham is playing that 50% of the time in 2019. He played press man 481 times. That was the 5th most. And cover one with that single high safety 43% of the time. So I like that, number one. I like that because I think Bradberry, that's his strength, man-to-man and being sticky to a wide receiver. But I'm also worried about, hey, we're going to need help. The cornerback number two, the nickel corner, that single high safety is going to have to help those two guys, and Bradberry may be on an island. And that kind of concerns me.
See, that's the thing that doesn't concern me is him being on an island. Like, on a defense where we have questions, inside linebacker, edge, cornerback two, and nickel, which is the biggest, I am totally fine being James Bradberry, you go take care of that side. I am completely fine. I think an issue we ran into in 2020 was got like the Bears and the Packers put their number one wide receiver in the slot and they abused us. Bradberry can follow his guy around. So on a defense where there's a lot of question marks, to me, Bradberry is the guy I'm the most confident in. Well, actually, no, the defensive tackles I am. But Bradberry, yeah. I am extremely confident in.
But cornerback is much more important. Defensive tackles are important. Don't get me wrong. Generating interior pressure. I'm not one of those guys that says this doesn't matter, that doesn't matter, besides running backs. But cornerback, very important. Cornerback, very important to passing league. And because Bradberry has this pedigree and he has the resume of going up against the best guys and he has that production, there's not even like deep digging stats that I could do about more cornerback metrics or something like that. That speaks for itself. The resume speaks for itself and the results speak for itself right there. Be excited about James Bradberry. I think my concerns come from I'm just worried about the defense overall. I'm very excited about James Bradberry.
Yeah, I have the utmost confidence in James Bradberry. Anything else you got?
No, rock and roll. Oh, fun fact. Here's a fun fact about James Bradberry. Brings it full circle with Josh Norman. We don't like Josh Norman. James Bradberry was the guy that took Josh Norman's job once he left town. And you can argue, he came in, did pretty well. Josh Norman, not the same corner since. So, system cornerback? Josh Norman?
No,
not that good?
Don't call him a system corner because that means James Bradberry entered the same system.
Oh. No. Stop it.
All right.
He's the exception.
We appreciate you guys. Next time, we'll see you. Until then, let's go Big